www.pikasfootball.com. Special thanks to Pika's Precipice Fund, Calligram Foundation, and the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts.
KBU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Food Wars 8, hosted by Clinton Street Theater. This annual music and comedy festival is also a food drive and will feature entertainment from August in Blue, Bad Habit, Tragedy, Boomer, Belinda Carroll, and more. Again, that's Food Wars 8, Sunday, June 21st at 5 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBU program has been made possible in part by KBU Foundation members and a grant from Portland 5, presenting an evening with Brazilian classical guitar duo, the Assad Brothers, with Romero Lubombo, Wednesday, June 24th at the Winningstad Theater. Tickets and information for the Assad Brothers is available at portland5.com.
I'm Dime Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to a song by the Portland Cello Project, which is featured in Wonderhead's show, Loon. And that's what we feature live in the studio today. Kate Braidwood and Andrew Phoenix of the acclaimed physical theater and mass company Wonderheads. Their show, Loon, is opening June 25th through the 28th, and it's performed in full masks and has been described as living cartoons or live-action Pixar. And this is part of Coho Productions' Summerfest, which features two other shows. We'll hear about those from Coho's Jesse Drake. It's a full Summerfest show today on stage and studio. I'm Dime Roberts. With me in the studio are Kate Braidwood. Hello.
Hello.
And Andrew Phoenix. Hello.
Hello.
Of Wonderheads. And welcome to Stage and Studio.
Thank you so much.
And you brought a third guest here.
We did.
And who is sort of waiting here on the table here. And this is Mr. Francis, I believe, mm-hmm. from the show Loon.
Yep, this is Francis.
Yeah, it's a full mask. If you were to describe for our listeners who haven't seen the website yet with the photos on stageandstudio.org, but how would you describe Francis?
Well, Francis, he is the main character in the show, and he is a large full face mask. So it's basically this very oversized cartoonish mask that I wear. And Francis, he's
you play Francis.
I play Francis.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's sort of a middle-aged balding
middle-aged balding guy. He's got some
red fluffy hair, and
sort of a look of worry.
I'm reminded of the Ed Asner character in Up.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yep.
Just a little bit. In that same age range and type.
For sure, yeah.
And he's big. What is he made out of?
He's paper mache.
Paper mache. Mm-hmm. And you wear him throughout the whole show.
I do.
Wow. Must be get hot and sweaty back there.
It gets very warm.
But it's beautiful, and he's got such sad, kind of compelling eyes,
too. Yeah, oh, thank you, yeah.
So did you make these masks? Did
yes.
You both made them.
Okay. Well, actually, I can't take credit for that. Just Kate is the mask maker.
All right.
I sometimes give her shoulder massages while she makes the mask.
You know, it's people underrate that.
Yeah.
You know, quite often I don't, so I think that's a good function. Well, you've got your big heads in the studio today, or one big head, and, you know, I really was fascinated by the photo, and I recommend people go to wonderheads.com or stageandstudio.org and see these photos of these giant-sized masks that you wear. Now, you're doing your show at Coho Productions this week, and I have to encourage people to take a look at the images online. Where did you get the ideas to perform with these big masks?
Well,
I mean, you both have that training, right? You both went to Del Arte and
That's pretty much where it started for us. Both Andrew and I trained at a physical theater school called Del Arte International, and it's a school in Northern California, and basically they focus on physical theater and ensemble-generated original work. So we met there, and MASQ is part of the training there. There's all kinds of other physical theater forms that you study, but MASQ is one of them. And for both of us, that form really spoke to us, it really clicked with us.
And you also fell in love, by the way.
And
right?
We did, yes. Eventually we did.
Let's not leave that part out.
Yeah. And and that's really where we fell in love with the form of MASQ. And so we wanted to take it further. And after we graduated, we started developing shows specifically with MASQ.
Yeah, and you've made your own unique types of MASQs for this, because I really haven't seen very many companies that perform quite the way that you have with these MASQs. What's the tradition, though, with big MASQs? I mean, what is the tradition in performing with the big face MASQs?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of traditions, Eastern and Africa and in Europe, but really for us, the direct lineage is our training was based in a school in France, the Jacques Lecoq School. And in his training, he acquired, he saw Swiss Carnival masks, which are kind of these big white bulbous masks. And he took them into his training, and they were called larval masks. And we actually trained with similar masks. And we liked that oversized cartoonish style so much that we then kind of mixed that, or Kate mixed that with this smaller character mask style. So that's kind of the direct lineage for us. But I mean, performing in MASQ, I mean, you can go to in Japan, like No Theater. You know, there's so many. Bali has a great tradition of wooden MASQ. So all of those are things you learn, and we learned at school. So there's little bits of that everywhere. There's even clown and commedia dell'arte in our style.
What is it about performing in MASQ that allows you to be, I guess, a different type of actor? What is it about that draws you? I'm always fascinated by what happens to you when as opposed to putting on makeup. Mm. What happens to you with this MASQ? When you put that on,
What I really love about it is that it's so transformative. I get to play a middle-aged guy, balding guy, and it's my job to really take on the physicality of that character. I think without MASQ, that would be a different ball game. But MASQ is just so transformative, and it really allows me as an actor and the audience to just go on this wild imaginative journey, which is really fun.
I mean, does it transform how you think about your body as well?
For sure.
Yeah. It's much more freeing with a different head on.
Yes. it really is. Yeah.
How about for you, Andrew? What draws you to this type of work?
Yeah, I think it's that. There's, acting work can be so ego-filled because it's you. No matter if you're playing another character, anytime we see, Al Pacino play, we still see Al Pacino, even though he can be transformed. So for me, I was really interested in being transformed beyond myself. So, I'll see pictures or we'll watch video of our work, and I don't refer to, the character, the Grim Reaper in our show, Grim and Fisher, who I play. I don't refer to him as me doing that. I really see and feel that that's something that's outside of me. I remember in our studies, them talking about the idea of the shaman and the shaman taking on this other character and me being baffled by that until we started doing this work. And I really don't feel like when I'm performing, I'm sort of serving as, serving as like a vessel for that kind of thing, for the character. And to me, that's something I never experienced in acting.
Yeah,
before.
I don't want to get too metaphysical, but in many other cultures, it does take on a spiritual realm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for you, it's so transformative that you really lose yourself in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that sounds fascinating to me. Well, let's talk a little bit about Loon, because it's the story itself. It centers on Francis, who you brought today. And it's described as a lonely janitor who is plagued by isolation and tickled by whispers of childhood imagination. I mean, what happens to Francis?
Well,
what's his journey?
Yeah, Francis. The beginning of the show, he starts out at a pretty big low point. He's lost everyone in his life, and he's very, very lonely, and he's looking for love. So from that point, we follow Francis on this journey in his search for love, And he doesn't find it in the more traditional ways. He actually finds it by falling in love with the moon. So we follow that journey of him going up and stealing the moon from the sky. Oh. and what happens.
It's almost like
that.
A folktale then, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is yeah. a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Andrew, you mentioned you're the Grim Reaper. But what other characters do you play in this?
Well, in Loon, it's a solo show, so Kate's the only
Oh,
performer.
Really? So yeah. There's other pieces in this production?
It's the Loon. It's a full-length show. That's uh-huh. that tale of Francis falling in love with the moon. So in this particular production, I was the director, co-creator.
Oh,
and then I also,
because okay.
our sound design is so complicated that we always have another person, kind of that outside person that's every single gesture that's happening, because it's a wordless show that we do.
Oh, so it's totally without dialogue.
Yeah, so the character never speaks. Right. There is sound effects and words from radio and from phone calls.
So there's a lot of multimedia in there.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah. Well, it sounds fascinating. I didn't realize it was a solo show, mm-hmm. so you have to carry this whole thing then.
Yeah, it's just me and the moon. The moon is kind
me
of a
the
character
moon.
As well.
Mm-hmm. But. Sounds like a song. Well, I think we're going to have one of those coming up. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts with my guests, Kate Braidwood and Andrew Phoenix of Wonderheads. And their show, Loon, runs June 25th through the 28th as part of Coho Productions Summerfest 2015. Now, I want to talk more about Loon and Wonderheads, but Waiting in the Wings right now is Coho Productions' Jesse Drake, who can tell us more about Summerfest. Hey, Jesse.
Hey there.
Hey, you're there. Yay. Hey, so Summerfest, is it an annual event at Coho? Because I remember the summer solo shows.
That's correct. It's sort of grown over the past, this is our fifth year of Summerfest now, and it did start originally as solo summer. And as in the case of Loon, we definitely feature mostly solo shows, although there are exceptions for special productions that come along. For example, the last show of this year's Summerfest is from Portland Experimental Theater Ensemble. But all other four shows this year are solo shows from really exciting artists.
Well, let's talk about the other two shows, July 2nd and 3rd and 4th. It's The Dissenter's Handbook, and its subtitle is A Collection of Riotous Tales by Dario Fo, and that's directed by Samantha van der Merwe. Can you tell us more about that show?
That's right. So this is from the wonderful artists of Shaking the Tree, Samantha van der Merwe, and Matthew Kerrigan is going to be performing a solo piece, and really looking forward to that. Dario Fo is a probably one of the most important contemporary playwrights, Italian, Commedia dell'arte, subversive political works, and it's just very rarely performed, I think, in Portland. In fact, it'll be the first show I've seen, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't think it's been performed since I've been around. So is that a solo show with Matthew then?
No, it's a solo show with Matthew.
And he's a tremendous actor. Tremendous actor.
And I think it'll be like it's a collection, because it's sort of three short fables or folklores spun through the Dario Fo subversive lens there.
And then the next one after that is July 9th through the 12th, and you mentioned the Portland Experimental Theater Ensemble, Pete, and it's called Drowned Horse, a Sea Shanty Cabaret. That also sounds unusual.
Drowned Horse Tavern, and this is an exciting piece because it kicks off basically the next year of work from Pete. They're calling it a constellation of performance events. The journey play is the whole thing, and it's all inspired by sort of a book of poetic essays. It's self-inspired by Moby Dick, so it sort of sets us off to sea with this wonderful live music cabaret style performance.
And who doesn't love a good sea shanty?
Right. You know. Grab your grog.
There you go. Well, I hope there will be grog at that performance. Now, we have Wonderheads Loon before both of those shows, but how would you characterize this season of Summerfest?
The three words we've used for this whole season is innovative, inspiring, and irreverent. Hmm. And I think that's played out very well in the first 2 weeks. You know, we have a lot of artists who are connected to the, certainly connected to fringe type performance. Gordy Boudreau and Deanna Flesher, who are here the first 2 weeks, as well as Loon, all tour on the fringe circuit and are much loved on that, and do work that is very lots of physical movement and commedia dell'arte training, or mask work, or clown, or Renaissance fair. So it's definitely on the fringes of theater performance. Very funny, a little bit surprising or raunchy. There's been some audience participation with the first two weekends. So it's a lively night of performance.
Well, I love that it's sort of a fringy summer offering, you know, that you're offering this, because often it's hard to schedule them, you know, in main stage productions. So will you be doing more of this summer type fringe festival, mini festival?
Yes, the plan is that it'll be a recurring annual an annual event around June and July here, because there are so many incredible shows that, you know, are a solo show or are the fringe style, you know, 90-minute shorter run, and we're really happy to have a place here at Coho to feature those shows and to give people a little something different for summertime entertainment, too.
Well, Jesse, before we go, do you want to do a shout-out for the main stage season of Coho Productions, too?
Absolutely. Our main stage season coming up, we're going to begin with Remy's Run, which premiered in... or had a workshop production, rather, in last year's Fertile Ground.
Yeah,
Festival.
I remember that, by Wayne Harrell, playwright Wayne Harrell.
That's right. This is the true story of Louis Remy, who raced on horseback from Sacramento to Sauvy Island, up here in Portland, to beat the bank that was closing, cash out his fortune. And there's some very interesting, sophisticated live technology projections that'll be worked into that. So that's our... opening in the fall, and then in the winter we have a new adaptation of The Yellow Wallpaper by Portland playwright Sue Mock, and conceived and performed by Grace Carter, wonderful performer in town, that also is going to be sort of an installation performance, some sort of like surround room, and this is of course the classic short story by Charlotte Perkins Gilman, The Yellow Wallpaper. And then closing the season will be a play, The Few, that is, who are our co-producers? Sorry.
Well, we can look it up, definitely, and it's good to have that shout-out, you know, and you can look it up at cohoproductions.org, and I encourage people to visit that, and as well as visit all the offerings at Summerfest. So it's great to see that Coho is going strong, you know. It's had a long tradition, and it seems like it keeps evolving every year, so I'm so pleased to see that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is going to be our 20th season.
That's so wonderful. Really, yeah, that's great. Jesse Drake, thank you so much for joining us today, and looking forward to Summerfest.
Thank you.
Take care. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio, and I'm going to turn back to my in-studio guests here, Kate Braidwood and Andrew Phoenix of Wonderheads. And their show Loon runs June 25th through the 28th at Coho Productions. And you feature a lot of music in Loon. And this one is Paper Moon, because you told me that the moon is actually a character. And I want to try something out. Let's play the music that we have here. Go ahead and start it. And Janet, thank you.
Paper moon.
Beautiful song. Now, can you describe to us? Let's give the like a do a scene that this would be, and sort of describe it for the audience. What's happening here? Let's do a little improv.
Oh man. Well, pardon me. In this scene, Francis would be turning on the radio to try and find a station that reminds him of the music that his departed mother once loved. So he's scanning the radio for the right song, and he lands on this particular song, and that's the one. And so this one really brings back some lovely memories for him, and that's what he leaves it on.
So he listens to this to remember his mom, and so I imagine you're doing some movement during
doing
this?
Some movement. Yeah, doing a little dance, and pardon me, and opens his curtains and looks up at the glowing moon in the sky, and then realizes he has to go off to work.
Well, let's listen to a little bit more.
Just as phony as it can be, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
That's a lovely moment. And it goes on.
That's the best part.
That's the best part. So what in particular inspired you with the story of Loon? What is it about this character that you wanted to do? You know, what?
Well, So we came together, our first show as a company, and it was actually before we were a couple, was to create a show about death, Grimm and Fisher. And in creating that show, we actually fell in love. So then we became a couple then. So when it came time to create our second show, we're trying to figure out which kind of show we wanted to do. And we said, why not make a show about love? And it's funny because I think actually this show about love might be slightly darker than our show about death. That's just kind of the way it goes sometimes.
Hey, it's balance.
Yeah. Which is no reflection on a relationship.
No, not at all.
Balance in life is important.
Yeah.
So Loon, you've been performing internationally. I mean, it's been getting awards and seems very well received. And are there differences that you notice in different countries and how people react to this show?
I think the theme of it, of love, it's all ages it connects with. But I think there's a age, we've done it at a lot of universities, and I think that age, we were kind of surprised, because often people think, oh, college age or younger age people aren't going to see theater, but when they come and see this show, they really connect to that idea of this hope of finding love, this search for a partner or an idea of a partner. So it's really connected with those folks. And because our other show, our first show, Grimm and Fisher, really connected with an older audience because of the theme. So that was kind of a surprise for us, but really, really enjoyed that because it's not often you see that age in a theater.
Well, what's in store for this show? Are you going to be touring it after this week at Coho? What's going on with it?
Yeah, we are. This sort of actually launches us on a whole summer tour. Every summer, we as a company go to Canada and we do the Fringe Festival circuit up there.
Are there a lot of Fringe Festivals in Canada?
There are, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All throughout the country, and they run all through the summer.
Wow.
It's this really big circuit, and the festivals are all shapes and sizes, but some of them are huge. They attract
tens of
thousands of people.
Do they go through the whole country? I mean, are you traveling throughout, you know, are you taking the bus or the train or whatever all the way across?
Yeah, basically. I mean, we'll drive ourselves but they start out east. There's festivals in Montreal and Prince Edward Island. We'll start sort of midway through the country in Winnipeg and work our way west.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's what we'll do Loon here in Portland, and then we'll head off on
what
tour for the summer.
What is that like for you? Yeah, I guess you've done that quite a bit. What is that like, that Fringe festival circuit?
Oh, we love it. It's so great. It's such a vibrant place for theater. It's I really see theater so alive there, and people are so excited about the work, and there's all kinds of work and all styles and forms and it's really
exciting place. I don't
think there's
an American equivalent to that, is there?
There are some.
There are some.
Some of them are actually, there's a thing called the Canadian Association of Fringe Festivals, and actually some of the U.S. Fringe Festivals are part of that circuit.
See.
So
okay.
Say, for instance, Orlando, which is the oldest and biggest Fringe Festival in the U.S., which has been going for 25 years, it actually begins that circuit. So we'll actually see Friends, and we'll begin in Orlando, and they make their way up to Ontario, and all summer, you know, 3 months later, they will still be on tour, and we'll be on tour with them. So there's actually kind of a family that... that you find and connect with. Deanna Fleischer, who did Butt Kopinski last week in the Summer Fest, she's one of them, you know, and it's kind of exciting to see those people. We see some of them more than we see our own friends in Portland because we're on the road, you know, at least 6 months a year. This year, it's more like 8.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not all Fringe.
You guys are vagabonds.
We are.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's why it's always so nice to come back to Portland and perform.
Yeah, because you're Portland based.
Yeah.
This is your home.
We began here. It's supported us. And we actually created Loon at the Portland Actors Conservatory as part of their residency program. And that was actually Philip Cuomo, who's running this Coho. He was instrumental in us creating the show. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of full circle for us to be back there and performing.
Well, what is it about this life that you love? I mean, you're on the road like 6 to 8 months out of the year, and, you know, you're performing, what, every weekend at least, you know?
This year we'll do 95 performances, so almost 2 performances a week. It's great. I think if we weren't able to do it together, it would be a lot harder.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah,
right.
We have a third company member who travels with us, but her partner doesn't. And I know it can get, it's difficult to be away. So we're very lucky lucky for that. I always say we're basically homebodies and Rolling Stones all in one. I think if we were home all the time, we would want to be out. But because we're out all the time, sometimes we like to be home. So we try and find that balance.
Yeah, it's an unusual lifestyle. How long do you think you can do it? You're both fairly young right now.
Yeah, I just turned 18.
You're 21. Yeah.
Sure.
No, I mean, how long do you think you can keep this up?
We'll see. I think
we'll play it. We're gonna play it out.
Right. I mean, yeah. It's we're still. Well, we've made bookings for within the next year or two still. So we have those.
You're incredibly
for sure,
popular. And this is your work. This is how you make a living.
This is what we do.
Yeah. So what's in store? Are you creating more shows too after this? After Loon?
Yeah, I mean, the plan is we kind of been creating every other year. Last year we created, last spring, and premiered it here in Portland, actually, a show called The Middle of Everywhere. So that's still, we'll still be touring it. We're trying to balance the creative with the business. So we really are trying to put our lines out there and collaborate with companies and people that we're really excited to do work with. So nothing totally set yet, but there's some stuff that hopefully very soon we'll be able to announce.
Yeah.
But one collaboration we are doing, which will be Thursday after our show at Coho, a great friend of ours in town, Lou Watson, did some illustrations, and also our other company member, Emily Wendler, they co-wrote a picture book, and it stars all of our characters, and we'll actually be doing a book launch
right after the show
on Thursday. So it's 8:30 on Thursday. Uh-huh. So I'm really excited about that because it's a collaboration outside of theater.
So the show's actually quite short. It's about a one-hour show.
Yeah, exactly. Loon.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds exciting, very exciting. And congrats on everything, and especially this book launch, too. So, all around, great, great ideas here. Show dates for Loon are June 25th through the 28th at 7:30 p.m. All shows are at Coho Productions. That's located at Coho Theater. The address is 2257 Northwest Raleigh Street in Portland. And box office hours for all the Summerfest shows are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., as well as 1 hour before curtain. And to make reservations, you can call them at 503-220-2646. That's 503-220-2646, or you can email them at coho@cohoproductions.org. Loon is recommended for ages 10 and up. So that includes me. So I'm looking forward to it. Kate Braidwood and Andrew Phoenix, thanks so much.
Thank
it's
you.
Great to have you here from Wonderheads.
Thank you so much.
Now, and you know, just keep going with it, and thank you for bringing Francis here, the giant head, with you too. He didn't speak much, but his eyes, his eyes tell so much of a story. If you want to see them, see Francis, see them, go ahead and go to stageandstudio.org, and you can also hear the podcast again if you missed any of it. Thanks so much, and have a great weekend, or have a great week of shows.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we go today, make sure you check out Outright Theater Festival. That's happening through June 28th. So it's this week is the last week at Funhouse Lounge. That's located at 2432 Southeast 11th Avenue in Portland. For more info, visit their site at outrightfest.com. And you can get more of that info on stageandstudio.org. I had a chance to see Under the Influence, and that's a very fun show at the very Funhouse Lounge. And lyricist composer Ernie LaJoy had some very clever, witty lyrics and songs about the universal vices most of us all share. Think coffee, chocolate, drink. Brian DeMar Jones was a standout with his powerful voice and presence, and the rest of the ensemble, including Ernie, Sarah King, and Leslie Renee, had very strong voices and great comedic timing. So there's only this week left to see this original cabaret-style performance before Ernie takes it to New York City, and the show runs about 90 minutes plus an intermission, and it's at the Funhouse Lounge, 2432 Southeast 11th Avenue, and check out outrightfest.com or stageandstudio.org, and you can see the schedule and order tickets online. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to the incredible engineer, Janet Anderson. Yay! I have photos and links as well as the guest info here at stageandstudio.org. I also have a podcast of the show later today. And please do like us at facebook.com/stage_n_studio or tweet me at @stage_n_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going to go out with one more song. We're going to go out with one more song from Wonderhead show Loon.
You're tuned to KBOO Community Radio 90.7. Coming up, Art Focus is off today. Instead, we'll hear an excerpt from Background Briefing, featuring interviews with Naomi Oreskes, author of The Collapse of Western Civilization, A View from the Future, and paleontologist Peter Ward, a world expert on mass extinctions. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland 5, presenting an evening with Brazilian classical guitar duo, the Assad Brothers, with Romero Lubombo, Wednesday, June 24th at the Winningstad Theater. Tickets and information for the Assad Brothers is available at portland5.com.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Tucci Ristorante, an Italian dining house honoring the memory of Mary Cipolla Matucci and the spirit of the Lido restaurant in which she worked for 50 years. Tucci Ristorante features sustainable Northwest ingredients, drinks in the Lido bar, and is open every day in downtown Lake Oswego. Information at tucci.biz. That's TUCCI.BIZ.
I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Naomi Oreskes, who's a professor of